Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
We are back right here on the Pack a Day Radio Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Reminder that the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Nellis is coming up next from 9 to 11. But right now, we are joined by Perry Goldstein of Packs What She Said fame. And of course, you can find her on the Pack a Day podcast as well. You can find her on social media at Perry_Goldstein. Perry, my friend, it is great to be chatting with you. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Andy?
I am fantastic. We've got Packers Bears this weekend. It's the last week of the regular season. Playoffs coming up in a week. Everything is crazy. But I know, Perry, that you are a cornerback connoisseur. You are a watcher of all things defensive.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back play in the NFL, and I know you've been obviously a huge fan of Jaire Alexander's over the years, and now we got this unfortunate news that Jaire Alexander is now going to be in all likelihood out for the remainder of this season. And I wanted to start there. I wanted to get your thoughts on the loss of Jaire, what it means for Green Bay, and just how bummed are you about it?
Definitely bummed. I certainly have some questions around how it was handled and the timing, and just like, why now versus earlier in the season? He hasn't been playing for, what's it been, Andy, 6 weeks, longer than that. So if he needed surgery, if he needs to go on IR, like, why not do it sooner? And he could potentially have come back for this point in the season. That's kind of my thought process around it. However, I'm sure that they felt at some point that he could play, or he wanted to play through it. And if that was in any way a possibility, then they were going to leave that open for it. And unfortunately, I think this is just where we're at, is the worst case scenario. That being said, I hope he gets better. It sounds like a PCL tear that needs surgery is worse than anyone expected. And, you know, that's just unfortunate. what it means for the defense. To be honest with you, you know, it's funny. We talked about this for a while on Pack What She Said, Maggie and I, and the defense has been playing without him for this whole time. So yep. I don't know how much it changes what this defense has been doing. You know, it's not like he's been playing and now it's a loss from the Minnesota game and they're like, oh, shoot, now we got to redo everything we've been doing. You know, you want to get Evan Williams back. You want to have him play deep with Avery McKinney. You want to move Bullard back into the slot so he can play where he's been most natural and keep Nixon and Valentine Stokes' rotation on the boundary. And that's what they've been doing without him. So, and it's been okay. So I don't know how much it like affects them going into this like postseason run, other than they were just hoping to get a key piece back and elevate them a little bit, and they're just not.
Yeah, it. I think the disappointment is that it doesn't allow you to reach your ceiling on the in the secondary, and I think that's where you know, there was this hope that you were going to be able to get this key player back. The defense has certainly been better when he's been on the field, and now you don't have him, which of course is frustrating for this defense, especially as you get ready for a playoff run. But to your point, the corners have filled in pretty admirably, especially as of late. Stokes is playing a little bit better. Carrington Valentine's coming up with big interceptions. So it does feel like these corners on the outside especially have found ways. Keyshawn Nixon, I think, is playing the best football of his career. Like, you don't feel like this is a complete lost cause in the secondary.
Yeah, exactly. And for me, again, if we were going into the playoffs without Jair all of a sudden, then you're like, well, shoot, the entire secondary has to kind of relearn new roles and new scheme, and Jeff Hafley has to adjust. But that's not the case. They've had to play like this for a while now. They have tons of reps in the formation that I just described, and I'm sure that they feel confident going into the playoffs with the guys that they have now. They just have to really stay healthy because they're down a key depth piece, and they can't afford to lose anybody else.
Yeah, that's a great point, especially with, you know, as of right now, Evan Williams, Javon Bullard, Zane Anderson, all a little bit beat up in that secondary as well. It just, if they do have any additional injuries, it's going to get very thin very fast. And that's not, again, the situation that you want to be in when you have some really good receiving cores in this playoffs with the Vikings, the Lions, the Eagles, even, you know, Mike Evans, the Rams, if they face the Rams. Like, there's some great wide receivers in this NFC playoff. So not ideal from that standpoint. I'm going to let you do some heavy lifting if you want, or we could just avoid the topic altogether. I will let you choose Perry Goldstein. The Packers had three players selected to the Pro Bowl. You, of course, had the two big free agent signings in Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney. Rashawn Gary was third. Elgton Jenkins made it as a top alternate. Do you care? And B, if you do care, what were your thoughts on which players were selected and or not selected?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much weight the Pro Bowl holds personally.
Right.
It's cool to see players get recognition for what they're doing on the field. I think it's always interesting to see someone who maybe should have gotten a Pro Bowl in different years get one in the year that he's not necessarily playing his best ball, but that is what it is. I think the Pro Bowl to me is a lot of name recognition. But the two free agent signings is a big one, and it just, I think, goes to show how well Goot did in the offseason.
Yeah, that's really well said, and I agree. I think, you know, when you're able to find two guys like Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney and add them into this team, I mean, can you imagine what this team would look like right now if they didn't have Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney? Now, obviously, it changes the calculus. They would have added, they'd probably keep Aaron Jones in that situation, and they probably use that money elsewhere, so it's tough to tell what the entire difference would have been, but it's hard to imagine they could have done better than getting Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney.
Yeah, they've been complete difference makers, not just on the field, naturally, but the locker room, too. It feels like they've been on the team forever.
So I want to talk to you about these potential playoff matchups. Now, it feels like a pretty foregone conclusion that the Packers are going to go to Philly in the wild card game. Theoretically, there's four games that matter to determine who Green Bay faces. You have Saints, Buccaneers, Rams, Seahawks, Commanders, Cowboys, and Bears, Packers. But the primary one, of course, is that Commanders, Cowboys game. Unless the Cowboys can find a way to pick up a victory, the Packers are going to go to the Eagles. But if the Cowboys somehow find a way to win that game, there are a few different scenarios where they could go on the road to face the Rams. There's one scenario out there that they could go on the road to face the Buccaneers. A, do you have a preference? Or I guess maybe the better question is, do you just feel like it's a foregone conclusion that they're going to Philly?
You know, I'm just going to start with this. I think it's absolutely insane that a team with Green Bay's record is going to be the seventh seed in this NFC. I don't know about you, Andy.
Can I take it a step further, Perry?
Yeah.
A few years ago, this team would not be in the playoffs when they just had six seeds. Can you imagine if this team, with what, 12-5 likely on the season, only losing to three teams all year, would not have made the playoffs? And again, we're just talking about a few years ago, that would have been the case. I wasn't necessarily a huge proponent of adding an extra playoff team. I would be losing my mind if this 12-5, likely 12-5 Packers team would have missed the playoffs. It would have been insane.
Yeah, it is insane, because they are the fourth best team in the NFC right now. And with the way that the seeding works and the division winners, et cetera, you know, I'm sure whoever loses in the Lions-Vikings game feels the same way, too. Yep. It gets kind of the short end of the stick in this seeding. I think it just goes to show how strong the NFC is, but also how strong the NFC North is. In terms of opponents, I mean, I think naturally you hope for the 3-4 seed matchup, whether it's, you know, whoever wins the NFC South, because I think the Falcons still have some kind of pathway to that, or the Rams. But you know what? If the Packers need to go on the road and play the Eagles, then the Packers will go on the road and they will play the Eagles. And it's a familiar matchup from earlier this season, and they will just have to play their best football. If I'm the Eagles, quite frankly, that's actually my least favorite seventh seed matchup. I want someone not as strong as Green Bay. Like, I think Green Bay could easily go in and beat the Eagles. That's an unfavorable matchup if I'm Philadelphia. So, whoever it is, there's going to be strengths and weaknesses on both sides for the Packers that they would need to exploit. But I think the way I look at it more, Andy, is less of who they're playing, because they're going to have to get through wild card weekend and then play most likely a team they haven't beaten yet this season. It's just a little asinine that they would be the seventh seed with how well they played this season and their record.
And this is why, you know, people say, like, well, it's just because the Packers are the seventh seed, but this is, to me, why you have to look at potentially reseeding these teams. I'm fine with how you get them in, meaning if you win your division, you get in the playoffs. But the biggest thing is you're screwing over the number two seed in this situation by having a team like Green Bay be the seventh seed. And when a team like theoretically, as you mentioned, Perry, Atlanta could end up with the four in this situation. Like, there's a world in which, like, if you're Philly, you're thinking, like, wait, there's a really crappy Atlanta team out there and that has a way worse record than the team that I have to play. I'm the two seed. Why do I have to? Why does the five seed get a better matchup, even though the five seed has to go on the road? Why does the five seed get a better matchup than I do when I'm the two seed? It's completely ridiculous. And I do think, you know, and the same thing again for Minnesota or Detroit, who ends up losing that game. I'm totally fine with you getting the seven teams in the way that the seven teams got in, but then rank them based on their record in the regular season. I don't know how you feel about it, but it just feels like you end up with these really weird discrepancies, and it should not have to be, you know, this real heavyweight fight between the Packers and the Eagles in week one, and one of those teams is one of your four best NFC teams is automatically eliminated as you go into the second week of the playoffs. It just feels crazy to me.
Yeah, I think it certainly begs the question and could potentially raise the conversation around the way seeding works. Maybe not necessarily the one seed, you don't have to touch that, but just looking at, like, straight record and head-to-head matchups, wins and losses in there. Because I don't think we've ever seen also a division like the NFC North this season where you have three, like, high caliber, potentially championship level teams. So it's a new situation for the league to deal with, but it's not totally improbable that it could happen again.
Yeah, it's something I think they should definitely look at. I don't think they will, but I wish that they would. As far as Green Bay's expectations for this postseason, you likely go again on the road against Philly. Your next matchup as the seven seed would be against the highest remaining seed, which is going to be whoever wins between Minnesota and Detroit this weekend. And then if you get past that, you're probably facing the loser of Minnesota, Detroit this weekend in the NFC Championship game. It's a brutal potential schedule to try to have to navigate. Let me just ask you this. From a Packers standpoint, they were a young, inexperienced team last year. They go on the road in the playoffs. They get a win against Dallas. They hang against San Francisco. If they just are one and done this season, they go to Philly and they end up losing that game, whether it's a 1-point game or a 21-point loss or anything in between, is that a level of disappointment for this Packers team in 2024 that they weren't able to improve upon what they did a season ago, at least getting again to the second round of the playoffs? Is it more just circumstantial because they got a bad draw and, you know, had to be that seven seed and go on the road to a really tough Eagles team? Or how would you view that season if that came to fruition, especially after a really promising 2023?
Yeah, if that's the situation, Andy, it would be disappointing, but not in comparison to 2023. This was such a different season, and this team is a different team. We went into the season with different expectations. Last year, everything was house money. Even getting into the playoffs was like, wow, that's awesome. This year, there were legitimate expectations because they showed it, right? They did it to us. To say, you know, we are good enough to go far. But I think my expectations, and this is me personally speaking, and I would be very curious if other Packers fans feel similarly, is my expectations have actually been tempered a little bit, despite the fact that this is, you know, clearly a better team record-wise, that they do make a deep playoff push like last year, because they haven't beaten any of the top teams. It's not to say that you can't, you know, get into the dance and then everyone's, you know, 0-0, right? So it completely resets in the playoffs and you just have to play your best ball and go 1-0, like Matt says. I'm not saying they can't, but we haven't seen it, right? So my expectations are just lower, not from anything that 2023 did, but just from this season, that they haven't beaten the Lions or the Vikings or the Eagles yet this season. And I put the Eagles in there as an asterisk, but they did lose to them. So that's why. But they can do it. They are fully capable if they play at their full potential. We just haven't seen it. So if they lose wild card weekend, I'm not necessarily, and it is because they go on the road to the Eagles, I don't know if I would necessarily be surprised.
Yeah, I totally understand that as well. I'm hoping that they're just saving all their wins against big teams for January in the playoffs. Like, that would be nice. I would love to see them at least get that one signature win on the season and kind of go from there. But it's going to be a tough matchup, and I'm just interested to see how this young Packers team handles it and then what that means for them moving forward as well. Like, what do they take away? What do they learn from that? Sometimes you have to go through these unfortunate lessons as you're the youngest team in football and really figure out how to win against great teams in this league. And if that's the lesson that they're going to take away from 2024 and early 2025, and it's going to make them better for this upcoming season, I guess so be it. But man, it would be really nice if they could at least get at that one playoff win, just to gain a little bit more of that winning experience in the playoffs as well. All right, really quick, Perry, before we get you out of here, keys to Packers, Bears, what are you watching for in this one? What's your prediction for the game?
Oh yeah, I mean, this is a very dejected Bears team with nothing to play for other than to spoil the Packers season. So you know, play clean, contain Caleb Williams. Don't let him run all over you like last time. You know, keep kind of everything in front of you. No stupid turnovers, no stupid penalties. Let the Packers offense get into a rhythm early, and they should be able to put up 30 plus on this team.
Love it. I would love to see that as well. Hopefully get, like you said, some of that momentum going into the playoffs and hopefully get that big win in that first week, likely against Philadelphia. Perry, you're the absolute best. Where can we find all of your incredible work?
You can just follow me everywhere on social media, Perry_Goldstein. Follow the podcast at PWSS Podcast. We're on Twitter. We're on Blue Sky. We're on YouTube. Yeah, that is all.
Well, thank you so much, Perry. We will definitely have you back on soon in the near future, hopefully talking about a Packers playoff win, or I think you and I will definitely be chatting this weekend on the Pack-A-Day podcast as well, and I'm certainly looking forward to that. Make sure to follow her again at Perry_Goldstein, and make sure to check out the Packs What She Said podcast with her and Maggie Loney. It's absolutely epic every single week, and they do an unbelievable job, so make sure to check that out. When we come back, we're going to be going to the phone, so get those phone calls into the Nicolay Law Fan Talk and text line, 414-677-1250. It's the Pack-A-Day Radio Show live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.